8, 6, 7, and starting with verse number 6. For to be eternally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. So then they that are in the flesh cannot please God. Why verse number 6 we talked about last time? What does carnally mean?
Fleshly.
Fleshly and carnally minded. How would that be affected, different from carnally fleshed or
non-spiritual?
Non-spiritual, all right. Spiritually minded.
Thoughts, I guess.
Pardon me, the thoughts, or the carnal thoughts, the mind, the wicked thoughts that we might think. And spiritually minded, what would that entail?
Thinking on the scriptures
and things of God, and minded by the Holy Spirit of God. And what is the end of that type of mind?
Life and peace.
Life and peace. And the carnal mind?
Death.
There's death. And then in verse 7, it gives the explanation as to why this is true. What is true of the carnal mind according to the scriptures?
It's an enmity against God.
What does enmity mean?
At war.
What is it? At war, or it's fighting, it's completely contrary to the carnal mind. Anytime we think, now, how many Christians might have a carnal mind?
It could be everyone.
Could be anyone, any Christian. How many unsaved non-Christians would have a carnal mind? Every one of them. It's all the mind that they have is carnal. Flesh, it's all they have is the flesh. So, it's an enmity. It's against, completely warring against. It's an enemy of God, the carnal mind. Does that mean then that the Christian, who's genuine Christian, has the carnal mind, he or she is also an enemy of God when that carnal mind is working?
Oh, yeah.
When that carnal mind is working, enmity against God. No. Now, why is it the enmity, according to verse 7? Why is that?
Subject to the law.
Not subject. What does it mean to be not subject to the law of God?
In submission.
In submission to the law of God. What about this last phrase?
It can't even be.
Neither indeed can be. In other words, the carnal mind can never, never, never be subject to the law of God. Can't possibly be. So we've got to divorce ourselves from carnal mind and carnal mentality. Then in verse number 8, what is true of those that are in the flesh?
They can't please God.
Can't please God. Now, there's a technical meaning of in the flesh and a non-technical meaning of in the flesh. Now, we can say that those who are genuine Christians have flesh. Is that correct? They have. We still have our flesh. And we're still living in the flesh, so that's one way. But spiritually speaking, the new definition here is what?
Controlled by,
all right. Verse number 9. They that are, you're not in the flesh, but what?
In spirit.
If what?
In
the Spirit of God dwells in you. Now see, we still have the flesh, so that may be a different definition. See, according to God, we're not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if the Spirit dwells in us. We still have the flesh, and so in a sense, we are in the flesh, but as it says in some of the epistles of Paul, we don't war after the flesh. We have the flesh, but as far as God's concerned, we're not in the flesh, we're in the Spirit, if what is true.
The Spirit of God dwells in.
How many people does the Spirit of God dwell in?
All believers,
all genuine Christians. And what is true if, what is the Spirit of Christ? How would that be defined?
Similar. The Holy Spirit.
Probably the Holy Spirit. Of the Spirit of God, is the Holy Spirit, Spirit of Christ, Spirit of the Holy Spirit. And what is true that people do not have the Spirit of Christ or Spirit of God indwelling them?
He is none of his.
What does that mean? He's none of his.
He does not belong to
him. Doesn't belong to the Lord. He's lost. He's bound for hell. What else can
it? Doesn't that refer back to Christ? So he's not Christ.
Not Christ, that's right. He's none of his, none of the Lord Jesus Christ. He's none of the things with him. He's just lost completely. Let's read verse number 10, 11, and 12 together.
And if Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. But if the Spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you,
He that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by the Spirit that dwelleth in you. Therefore, brethren, we are debtors not to the flesh, to live after the flesh. Questions at vftbc.org or give us a call at 856-261-9018. Glad to hear from you. So in verse number, was there 10, was it?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, 10. If Christ be in you, what is the case? What is true? What is the situation of verse 10, if Christ be in you?
Then the body is dead because of sin.
See, as far as God is concerned, the body is a dead situation. There's no life. There's no spiritual life. There's no spiritual benefit. It's death because of sin. Is that sin the sin nature or the fruit of the sin nature, do you think?
Nature.
Probably the nature, because the sin nature is there. But what about the spirit in this verse 10?
Life.
Life. Body dead, spirit is life because of righteousness. How many people in the world have God's righteousness?
All those truly believers and born again.
All those born again, genuine Christians have the righteousness of God by, if we're faith in Christ, we have been given by God a righteous standing before Him on the throne of heaven. The books of heaven declare us righteous. That's our standing. What should our state seek to be? That's all time. Go ahead.
Well, this reminds me of Galatians 2:20. I'm crucified with Christ, and nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me, and the life that I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave Himself for me.
Yes.
And so our body is dead. I'm crucified with Christ.
Crucified with Christ. Body is dead.
The body of sin is dead.
That's very good. Spirit is life. And then in verse 11, if the spirit of Him that raised up Jesus from the dead. Now, who is He that raised up Jesus from the dead?
The Lord Himself, the Lord Jesus Christ Himself.
Yes,
and the Spirit.
And the Spirit.
And the Father.
And by the Father. The entire Trinity had a part in the resurrection, bodily resurrected, did not. Remember, He said, no man taketh my life from me, I lay it down of myself. I have power to lay it down, I have power to take it up again. So, the Lord Jesus Himself, but also the Spirit of Him. So the Holy Spirit had a part in it. If He dwell in you, in believers. Now this is something that perhaps Pastor Daniel has something.
We were thinking of that verse, raised by Jesus.
Second Corinthians. Instead of with Jesus, it would be by Jesus, yes. Raised up by Jesus instead of with Jesus, like other versions
said. I'm just thinking of that.
That's good. Now, this verse 11 teaches a doctrine that many of us don't really think too much about, perhaps. What is true of if the Spirit of Him that raised up Jesus dwell in you, the Holy Spirit dwells in you, He that raised up Christ from the dead shall also do what?
Quicken
your mortal bodies. Quicken means what?
Make alive.
You're mortal. What's mortal?
Our earthly body.
Also, a mortician?
Death.
A mortician?
Well, yeah, our dead bodies.
Okay, something subject to death, mortal body, subject to death. What does immortal mean?
Not subject to death.
Dwelling in this mortal body, what then is true? He'll raise, quicken your mortal bodies by whom?
By the Spirit
that dwells in you. Normally we think of God the Father going to raise us up in the rapture. Christ is going to raise up, but here the Holy Spirit is going to be raising up, and He's one that helped to raise the Lord Jesus from the dead as well. Through the Spirit of God, raise our mortal body. When will that resurrection take place?
At the rapture.
Those that are corruptible bodies that are buried, and some of those Christians, sad to say, are burned up and cremated. We don't believe that's scriptural, but some of them are. But that corruptible body will be changed into incorruptible. And what about those who are mortal, subject to death now, if the Lord comes in the rapture? What will happen to these mortal bodies subject to death?
Become immortal.
And incorruptible.
Well, the ones raised from the dead will be incorruptible. Yes. Corruptible, put on incorruption. Those mortal bodies living, put on immortality. Never die at all. And by the Spirit of God that will take care of that, by His Spirit, dwelleth in you. We read 12, didn't we?
Yeah.
Therefore, brethren, what is a debtor? What is a debtor?
We owe money to somebody.
Does our government owe any money to anybody?
I don't know.
And who got us into the most debt for all 46 presidents preceding?
The current president.
Barack Hussein Obama. Coming up almost to $20 trillion. That's a lot of money, isn't it? $20 trillion. Mm-hmm. And I heard the one running for president, the lady running for president, she says, he's decreased our debts. Oh, how can you say that? $20 trillion and decrease? Anyway, but here it says very clearly, debtors, that means we're not going to be owing anybody. Who are we not debtors to?
Flesh.
And who's the we refer to?
Christians.
Christians of Rome, and by extension, Christians today, genuine Christians, not to the flesh. To live after the flesh. What would that mean? Do some Christians live after the flesh?
Yeah, to be carnal.
Carnal, carnally minded. And they live after the flesh. Now, does every Christian, everyone that's genuinely saved, have the flesh?
Yes.
Yeah, they all have them. But what's the difference between having it and living after it? What's the difference?
I'm controlled by the flesh.
So, we're dead not to the flesh, to live after the flesh. That's not the dead. The Lord Jesus Christ saved us by his death on the cross and made us clean, gave the Holy Spirit to indwell us, and we're not debtors after this flesh anymore. Still have a flesh. Did we read 13 yet? I forget.
No.
Well, let's read 13, 14, and 15 together. For if ye live after the flesh, ye shall die. But if ye through the Spirit mortify the deeds of the body, ye shall live. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. For ye have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but ye have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. By verse 13, if ye live after the flesh. Now, what does it say about verse 9, ye are not in the flesh? That's just what God concerns us. We have the flesh, we're not in the flesh. What's the difference between not being in the flesh and living after the flesh?
Well, if you're...
Is there a difference between being in the flesh and living after the flesh?
Yes.
God just concerns us.
The difference between live after the flesh and what?
And being in the flesh.
Well, we're all in the flesh.
Where
we're
is
alive.
Well, but in verse 9, the Lord makes a spiritual distinction. Ye are not, the Christians are not in the flesh. As far as God's concerned, but in the Spirit. But living after the flesh would mean what?
Being controlled by the flesh.
All right. Now, in good things or bad things? What is the flesh generally? Is it generally evil or generally good?
It's bad,
okay, but things to do with our bodies are different than just the flesh. When you say the flesh, it's usually bad, but things to do with our bodies, sleeping enough time, eating our food, taking rest, various other things, taking care of ourselves, that's a different thing, but the evil nature of us is called the flesh. If we live after the flesh, what's the result of that?
Guaranteed you shall die.
You shall die. All right, I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live, as Tammy mentioned, Galatians 2:20. But ye shall die. In other words, the flesh, that's all that is destined to is death. There's no life that ever, unless the Lord Jesus will return the rapture right now while we're still living, then the flesh will be transformed. That's mortal body to immortality. But ye shall die if you live after. But what is true if you live through the Spirit? You mortify. What does mortify mean? Yes, Tammy?
Can I share a verse?
Yes.
John 2:16. I'm not sure if this is the exact one I was looking for. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world.
Yes, that's good. All that is in the world. Lust of the eyes, lust of the life. So that's all.
Lust of the flesh.
Lust of the flesh.
That's the first one.
All right, that's good. Lust of the flesh. That's very good. It's not of the Father, but it's of the world, and the world passeth away, and the lust thereof. All right, so the If ye through the Spirit do mortify. What does mortify mean?
To death.
Pass to death.
Well, Tammy's up at the...
Okay. That's okay. What is a mortician?
Someone who takes
care of dead bodies.
Okay. And what was one of my uncles?
A mortician.
Mortician. All right. And it was Uncle Ernie. That's his name. To mortify the deeds of the body. How do you go about mortifying, putting to death the deeds of the body, the bad deeds, I understood?
Counting yourself dead.
Counting yourself dead, that's right. And through what other means, according to verse 13?
Through the power of the Holy Spirit.
In other words, you've got the works of the flesh in Galatians 5, 19 to 20, but you have the fruit of the Spirit in 22 and 23. And if you have this controlled by the Spirit of God, these deeds of the body will not be manifest. It'll be the fruit of the Spirit. Love, joy, peace, long suffering. Yeah, Vaughn?
I want to know, what was the name of Uncle Ernie's funeral parlor?
Well, let me think what it was. I think it was the... I don't remember what it was.
I never heard too much about it. He died before I came into the family.
Yes. Yes, Sharp, I think it was a Sharp Spooner Parlor. I think his name was Sharp, the Sharp Spooner Parlor in Wellington, Ohio.
Was he your mother's?
He's my father's relative.
No.
My mother?
Your Aunt Leora's husband.
Aunt Leora's husband. Grandmother's on my mom's side. Okay, I'm wrong.
That was Helen. Yeah. Wade, his mother's sister is Aunt Leora.
That's
Leora's
right.
Husband.
That's true.
Now, had she been divorced?
Yes, Yaxheimer. Mr. Yaxheimer was her first husband, and this was Sharp, second husband. And she had a son called Bob Yaxheimer. All right.
Phyllis Yaxheimer.
Phyllis, yes. German, I guess. What's that, Anna?
I'm not going to remember all of this.
Pardon me?
I'm not going to remember all of this.
That will be sad. Not really. Just so you remember,
it's recorded for all eternity.
Just so you remember, Anna, just so you remember your talk for, is it tomorrow?
It's
Saturday. Okay. You're working on that for Saturday. All right. I'm certainly glad we didn't have dinner on Friday because I misread the schedule of the plane. I thought it was she's arriving at 1:13. She's leaving the place in Florida, or I mean, wherever she is in Iowa, at 1:15. Not come here till 8:40 p.m. So if we had supper for her, she wouldn't be here to eat. So, well, it was Saturday. Anna made sure it was Saturday.
It would have been very late.
It was very late. Late supper.
I have to run all over the airport looking for her.
Well, honey, no, you don't.
She's come outside.
She's coming right outside. She's going to be there.
One time when we went to, when I picked up
that's a different person.
Someone else.
I different person.
Run all over the airport for her.
It's a different person.
But the whole airport.
But Pam Bennett knows exactly how to do it. She's been here before. She knows you go to the baggage claim area, you walk two streets over, this street and that street, you wait right there under the American Airlines, and we'll be there. The difference is she has no phone. So normally, when people come in, they call us when the plane hits the ground. Call us. She can't call us. So, all right, the next thing is, she goes to the airport and finds someone's got a phone and calls 1-800-JOHN-10-9. Free call. And then as soon as we get the call, we drive to pick her up. I told her it would be 25 or 30 minutes because they don't have this call. Otherwise, it would be on time. Yes, Anna?
Do they still have pay phones in the airports?
Well, that's the problem. So she may have to go to the baggage claim person or someone there she sees to borrow their cell phone. Please call 1-800.
Yeah, right there.
John Tennant.
Have you been there lately?
Well, now...
I remember there are not as many pay phones.
My wife didn't see it. There's many of those pay phones. So maybe they've taken away now the cell phones are there, but... She could go to the baggage claim person. She could go to someone, say, call this free number.
You should translate it, the numbers, because sometimes people don't have...
Yeah, well, she knows it. She's memorized it. I told her, John, she's called it
the J-O-H-N has to be translated.
Well, that's true. Yeah, no, J-O-H-N, that's right. I told her that, but she's got the number. She'll tell the number.
If you look at the keypad...
I said she's sitting on the airplane,
keypads,
and a seat there. Ask the person next to her.
No, she'd rather not do that.
But she won't do that because she's not me. That's what they said.
That's what I said,
I'm pushy, I guess.
Well, my wife would ask, would you call this number? 1-800-JOHN-10-9. What lady? So
by this time, I would know this person real well.
You talk to next to them. Won't cost anything. It's a free call. Anyway.
The people next to me.
If it's a cell phone, it doesn't matter if it's toll free.
Right, that's right.
So I tried to tell that to you.
856-854-4747 may be easier.
Oh, is that right?
Maybe, I don't know.
Is it free, toll free? If it's
no, well.
4747
is
if
you make calling on a cell phone, it doesn't. An 800 number doesn't help anybody to call a cell phone.
Because it's only minutes, it's not cost.
What do you mean?
If you're calling from a land phone, that's when the toll free number is helpful.
Well, you mean, what do they pay for, really, on a cell phone?
They wouldn't pay for it anyway, because it's only minutes on a phone, on a cell phone.
Anyway, that's quite a bit of things that come out of verse number 13.
It will be fine.
If you live after the flesh, you shall die. Through the Spirit, guided by the Spirit of God, controlled by the Spirit. Here again, that word mortify. What does he say? What does it mean?
Put to death
the deeds of the body. What's going to be happening?
You shall live.
Questions at bftbc.org or 856-261-9018. Give us a call or comment. Just say hello. Let's hear from you.
I don't want to go walking all over the airport.
Honey, you're not going to walk over the airport. You're going to stay in the car.
And I know airports.
Are we discussing a different person? Yeah.
Okay, let's continue.
That was verse 13.
We're out of verse 13. We're going to 14. What is true about those that are led by the Spirit of God?
Barbara has something to say.
Oh, Barbara, go ahead.
thank you. The shall live and shall die. One time when I was teaching Bible study and it came up the imperative, I said you can engrave it in stone and take it to the bank. That exactly will happen the way it's written. So you're going to live and you will die. It's a promise.
Well, is that an imperative or a future tense?
Both. Ye shall is imperative.
Want to get the Greek
The word shall generally is a future tense.
First person singular.
Well, that's true, but I have to check the Greek on it to be imperative. But it's a future. In other words, if you live after the flesh, ye shall die. In other words, ye shall in the future die.
You want the Greek book, please.
If you live after the body, ye shall in the future live. And it could be, shall could be imperative, but quite often, usually, shall and will are future indication of the future tense in English.
It depends on the person.
Yeah.
Well, then, is that referring to? It's not an eternal death. It's a.
That's right.
At that moment, spiritual death.
Yes.
There's a separation. If you walk, a separation from God.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Well, it's an if then. If ye live after the flesh, then ye shall die.
Right.
It's a guaranteed in the condition.
Guaranteed, absolutely guaranteed. And if you live the Spirit, you shall live.
Well, we all live after the flesh.
Well, we're not to live after the flesh.
Does that mean be alive?
No. In verse number 13, if you live after the flesh, you shall die. We're in the flesh, but we're not considered to be in the flesh. In verse 8, if we're saved, they that are in the flesh cannot please God. But you're not in the flesh. So, from God's standpoint, although we live in the flesh, we're not in the flesh spiritually as a condition of in the flesh. Yes, Tammy?
But this is, he's talking to Christians in verse 13, right?
Yes.
So, this is not saying that they're going to die eternally, though, are
they? No. No, won't get free. But the deeds of the flesh will pass away and won't amount to anything. Anna?
Trying to make a distinction between in the flesh and after the flesh?
Yes, exactly. And so after the flesh is
according
different.
According to.
Yes.
According
it's too hot in here.
Okay, I shouldn't have put it up to 71.
Oh, I think it's fine.
Okay.
You roll up your sleeve.
It's okay. Well, no, it's just me. I keep getting hot flashes.
All right. What verse is that?
After the flesh.
Okay. all right, so... So we have died. In other words, it'll be worthless. It'll be death Can you do anything when you're dead? Can you smile?
No.
Can you lift up your hand? No. So in other words, it would be absolutely useless and without any movement, it would be worthless, death.
And it's that's very dead. When David died and I saw him in his casket, I looked out and that's what dead looks like. He's dead.
Yes.
He looked really nice, but he was dead.
Yes. So deeds of the body, mortify those deeds. Those are wicked, evil deeds of the flesh. You shall live to please the Lord. Did we read 14 yet?
Yes.
Okay, as many as are led by the Spirit of God. What does it mean to be led by the Spirit of God? How can that be possible?
You're guided. You're directed.
Directed. And what are the three conditions, for instance, that Dr. Louis Spray Schaefer said that determine whether a person is able to be filled and controlled by the Spirit of God? Remember the three conditions?
Do not grieve the Holy Spirit.
All right.
Tell me.
Grieve not the Spirit of God. What does that mean? What's the second one before we define them?
Quench
not the Spirit of God. And
walk in.
Two negative, one positive.
Grieve,
quench, and then walk in. That's positive. Two negatives. What is it that grieves the Spirit of God?
Known unconfessed sin.
What is it that causes the Spirit of God to be quenched? Saying no to the will of God. And what is it to walk in the Spirit? What does that mean?
Say yes to the will of God.
Yes, and walking in the power of the Spirit of God. So these are things that are three different things, at least he suggests, that help us to be controlled by the Spirit of God. And that's very important, through the Spirit, to mortify the deeds of the body. And then as many as are led. And that word led means control, doesn't it? They're the sons of God. Now, let me ask you this. If you're not led by the Spirit of God, in what sense are you not the sons of God? According to John 1:12, as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, children of God, even them that believe on his name. But in this new definition, what does it mean to
is that like the verse where it says walk as dear children? So like a closer
more intimate relationship. I think that's the distinction. You're there, the sons of God. In other words, full mature sons, daughters, sons being God, sons and daughters, both mature children of God who are controlled by the Spirit of God. They're grown up. Those that are not walking with the Spirit of God, they're still children of God by faith, but they're not mature, grown up children of God and mature. I think that's the distinction, is it not? Doesn't mean they've lost their child of God status, but they're not full, mature sons of God unless they're led, controlled by the Spirit of God. Yes, Bob? Oh, I'm sorry. Anna?
Could this have reference... I guess to like when once you're in ancient times, once you were like of a certain age, then you were eligible for the inheritance.
Yes.
Whereas before, you had to be of a certain age.
That's right.
I'm not sure. I'm saying.
What is the age? Do you remember?
Is it 18?
Maybe 18.
I don't know.
What is 13, the age? 13, what 14. Is the age today of maturity?
I don't know.
When can
today?
You vote?
Is it 18 or is it 21? It used to be 21.
18
or 21.
You can vote at 18.
There's a lot of things you can do at
18,
but still other things you can do at
21. 21. So it's up and down. But full grown, mature sons of God walking by the power of the Spirit of God. Did we read 15 yet?
Yes.
Okay. Now, it says, what if we, was not true of those, who's the E referred to here?
The true born again Christians.
True born again Christians. Rome, by application to us today. What is not true?
We don't have the spirit of bondage.
Not the spirit of bondage. What would the spirit of bondage be?
It's bondage to sin,
I guess. Yes. In other words, if it was a spirit of the flesh, That would be a bondage, wouldn't it? It'd be enslavement. Not bondage, again, to fear. What is he again there? Why is that there? What does that refer back to?
It would go back to before you were saved.
Before you were saved, you're in bondage. And to fear. Bondage, enslavement, to fear. But what is the true case in the end of verse 15?
You see the spirit
of adoption.
Adoption. What does adoption mean?
It means that you become part of the child of a new parent.
New parent, part of the family.
And the fatherhood of Satan to the fatherhood of God.
Fatherhood of Satan, father of God. When we're born, whose family are we in?
Satan's
family, every one of us. But only when we're born again are we in God's family. Spirit of adoption. Cry, Abba, Father. What does Abba mean?
Daddy.
Daddy, it's an enduring Hebrew expression. I said that many times as we were in the Holy Land. My mom sent us over there in the 1980s, going up to a mountain around this cable car, I guess it was.
Cable car,
and a little boy was in the arms of the father and mother. Abba, it's crying out. As soon as they saw it, I'll never forget. There it is, Abba, Father.
He was in his father's arms.
Fighting the father's arms.
It was scary.
Sort of jerking along, you know, it's up there. So, but
just a wire from one mountain to the other. That's a Masada, that's what it
was. Yes, up to Masada. So, the close-knit fellowship with the Father, very close, spirit of adoption, he's adopted. How many people in this world have been adopted by God the Father?
Only born-again
Christians. Genuine Christians, born-again Christians.
And that car, they could only hold so much.
Yes.
So they look at you, they add in their head how much everybody weighs.
Mm-hmm. Understand? Remember that?
I remember that.
Okay, now, did we read 16 yet?
No.
Well, let's read 16, 17, and 18 together. The Spirit itself bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. And if children, then heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ. If so be that we suffer with him, we may also be glorified together. For I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory that shall be revealed in us. Why verse 16? The Spirit itself. What is one criticism that the people against the King James have for the word itself?
Because
the Spirit is a person.
Is a person. What is the answer to that?
It's neuter in the Greek.
That's right. It's ta pneuma, which is a neuter noun, and they're just identifying it and joined with the neutrality. In other places of Scripture, it's very clear that the Spirit of God, he, so very clear that the King James translates that. But here,
what do you mean, ta pneuma? Spirit, that's what spirit is.
Ta pneuma is a neuter noun, and the word that applies to it is in agreement with that itself. If this were a masculine noun, it would be the Spirit himself. But ta pneuma is neuter, so the itself is neuter. So neuter to neuter, it's in agreement with it. Yeah, thank you, man.
Is Spirit always a neuter noun?
Oh, yes. Ta pneuma is always neuter.
Where it's used?
In Greek. No matter where, in Greek, yes. Whenever it's used, that's right. Ta pneuma. So they're accurate as far as translation, and some people get mixed up. Why is it?
Because it's the way the language works.
Different ones, yes.
Is this word the same as when it says the spirit of man, but by the context, it's clear that it's the Holy Spirit.
That's true. That's the
so
same
it's
word.
The same Greek word.
Same Greek word. Top down. It depends on the context to determine what it is. See, honey, every noun in Greek is either masculine, feminine, or neuter. That's just the way it is.
Okay.
It's got gender. Every noun in Greek has gender, not nominative.
You mean like even inanimate things like house and road?
House,
and
that's
car.
Right. Yeah. Road, car. Right. I don't think they had any cars in Greek.
Well, I think that just Spanish, too.
Yeah.
It's Spanish, too, yeah.
Spanish,
German, familiar.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, everything.
Yeah.
Masculine, feminine, or neuter. And that's just the way it is. I don't know all the reasonings of it, but that's the way it is.
But we in English, we don't have that.
Well,
we have he, she, and it. Masculine, feminine, or neuter.
But we don't have
but that's persons. That's not
person.
Object.
No, that's not object. Yeah, Anna.
We don't have it in as clear cut a sense. I mean, we have sometimes they refer to a ship as a she.
Yes, right? That's true.
But, I mean, we don't have as definite.
That's right.
Definite.
If it's a female cat, that's female. If it's a male dog, it's a male. You know.
Well, you can't tell it's just the word cat.
No, no, that's true. But in Spanish, you can el gato. Eso como el gato.
Or
la gato. He killed the cat.
Who killed unless the you cat? Call it a queen.
All right.
Okay. I'm getting tired.
What verse is that?
I was tired when I came.
It's what verse is that?
It's verse 16. It's
verse 16. Spirit itself bears witness with our spirit. Now, what's our spirit compared to the other spirit? One is capital, one is small. Why?
One's the Holy Spirit.
Which one?
The big one. The capital.
Capital S.
The one that says the in front of it.
Okay.
R.
And what is the R, the other spirit?
Our spirit.
We have a spirit, soul, and body.
Spirit, soul, and body. And what does Dr. Tom Strauss do in 1 Corinthians 12:13? The Spirit himself bear witness with our spirit that we are the sons of God. No, not that one. This one that says what?
We are all baptized.
Well, baptized.
Into one spirit.
Into one spirit, whether it be bond or free. So what does he do with spirit there?
I don't know. I forgot.
What does Dr. Strauss do with that spirit there?
1 Corinthians 12:13.
He
makes it
it's
the same as our spirit.
That's right. Makes a small s, and he defines it as enthusiasm. When one enthusiastic thing, just all the local church is the body of Christ, not the spirit of God. So, and just Baptists, there had to be a Baptist church, his kind of Baptist churches. So he has this capital versus small s on spirit. So he just, he's for the King James Bible, he says, but he ruins the King James Bible in 1 Corinthians 12:13 because King James has a capital S and he knocks it off and puts in small s by one spirit, or by one spirit we're all baptized.
1 Corinthians 12:13.
Finally we get a call. Who is it? Jacob? Rob from Chicago. Hi, Rob.
Hi, Pastor. Good evening to everyone.
Hi.
First John. Not First John. John, chapter 1, verse 32, says, "And John bare record, saying, I saw the Spirit descending from heaven like a dove, and it abode on him."
Yes.
So there's another it for the Spirit.
Another it. Thank you. That's another it. Agreeing with
and
the gender.
And Greeks, there's another one at Maranatha who taught my ex-pastor. In Corinthians 12:13, he made the spirit a little less also, and I got in a big. My pastor got very mad at me when I told him that he was wrong.
Yes, that's good.
Put it that way, anyway.
Good.
Okay.
Thank you very much. That's way for Rob Wendergrass there in Chicago. Yes, Richard Weeks, he was one of the teachers of Maranatha Baptist College, and he taught that same thing that Dr. Strauss believes, that local church. That's where Dr. Strauss went to school, and Dr. Weeks was one of his teachers.
When are you coming to see us, Rob?
Yeah, when are you coming to see us, Rob? My wife asked. Come anytime. Glad to have you. I know you're busy, but come when you can. So the Spirit himself bears witness, and heirs of God, children of God, we are the children of God. The Word is witness with our spirit, the human spirit, that we are children of God. So there is a knowledge that we're saved as the Spirit of God bears witness with our spirit. We're tripartite, people are. What are the three parts of us?
Body, soul, and spirit.
And what is the order of the scripture?
Spirit, soul, and body.
Not body, soul, and spirit.
Spirit, soul, and body
is the order of the scripture. Where is that found? What verse? 1 Thessalonians 5:23. I pray God your whole spirit and soul and body. Now the world always puts body first because that's what normal people think, but it's spirit first. And the Spirit of God bears witness with our spirit. Now what is true? What happens to the spirit? What?
I'm singing.
What happens to the spirit? What does the spirit do according to 1 Corinthians?
What does it do? It makes
it
grow.
What is the spirit of us? What can it do as far as
utterances?
Witness.
No, it Are we talking about bearing witness, or are we talking
about just the spirit?
Generally.
Our spirit of a man.
Well, yeah, let's start with the body. What is the body? What is the function of the body?
Oh, we don't know.
It's to provide
a housing.
A housing for the soul and spirit, all right? And the soul, what does the soul do?
It's just there.
Where emotions.
Emotions and feeling. And what does the spirit do? Will. Spirit is what is the know, it's the knowledgeable thing, see? It's the spirit, we know the thing from the spirit, we can know God through the spirit, see? It's the knowledge. It says in 1 Corinthians that some of the things that no man can know God except the spirit teaches us. In other words, the knowing part of us. It's the thing that...
isn't that what makes us who we are, the spirit?
Well, I think that's certainly...
Or is that the soul?
Well, see, now in that sense of feelings... Do animals have souls in that sense?
I'm just going to finish this.
Animals.
Yes,
they have souls. They have feelings. See? So the feelings, they have souls. But do they have spirit? Can they communicate with God?
No.
See, only the spirit can communicate with God. That's, we have the spirit. Animals have no spirit. They have feelings. They have a body, and then they have sensations in that sense. Yeah, Bill.
We are made in the image of God, therefore we have a spirit.
Yes, that's true.
So therefore, there's no other creature that is made that way.
That's right, and we can know God by the spirit.
Right.
If we're able to, that's communicated with them. Barbara.
This came real home to me really hard. When my dog died, and you have to understand that my dog and I were soulmates in the true sense of the word, when she died, she dropped dead at my feet. She wasn't any different than when she was alive. She was there.
Mm-hmm.
When I walked into my mom's hospital room, she died before I got there.
Mm-hmm.
There was a body there. I could tell you that that was my mother's body, but Mama wasn't there.
Mm-hmm. Right.
It was a whole totally different. And I didn't understand that quite right until Mariah, my dog, died.
Mm-hmm.
That when Mariah died, there was no difference than when she was alive. She was there. She was on the floor. She hadn't gone anywhere.
Yeah.
But Mama did.
That's interesting. Mama or the Lord?
Yes.
That's good. Praise the Lord.
What do you mean the dog was there?
There was no absence of anything. She was, it was as if she were lying at my feet.
Sleeping or something.
Uh-huh. But she, very much as a presence, was there. It was the same as if she were just alive.
Mm-hmm.
But Mama wasn't there. When I walked in the hospital room, it was really weird, because Mom wasn't there. There was a body there, but Mom wasn't there.
Yeah,
that's intuition.
Spirit and soul. Yeah, Tammy.
Verse 11 of 1 Corinthians 2.
All right.
For what man knoweth the things of a man, save the spirit of a man which is in him?
Yes.
Even so, the things of God knoweth no man, but the Spirit of God.
That's the verse I was alluding to. The Spirit of man which is in knoweth. It's part of our knowing. That's good. That's a good verse. 1 Corinthians 2.
2:11.
Okay.
Could you read that again, please?
Read once more, please.
For what man knoweth the things of a man, save the Spirit of man which is in him? Even so, the things of God knoweth no man, but the Spirit of God.
So the Spirit is our knowing part of us.
Did it say the face of God or the faith of God?
No, it's nothing about faith in there.
No.
No man knows the faith.
But the Spirit of God. No one. The things of God knoweth no man but the Spirit of God.
Mm-hmm.
Things. Oh, things.
The things.
Okay.
It's not faith, the things. All right, that's good.
Which is why his spirit bears witness with our spirit.
Yes.
Because it's the only level that they could connect.
Yes, spirit bears witness with our spirit. So spirit to spirit, not with their soul, not with their body, but spirit. And that's the thing that knows God. The spirit can know God. And since animals don't have a spirit, they can't know God. And let's see what we got here. Is Jacob? Jacob from Texas. Hi. Go right ahead, Jacob.
Yes, sir. I just wanted to say about that term "it" about the Holy Spirit. We know it's a he, but anyway, I'm going way off subject here. But we got this crazy blue Russian cat, and it's bad. It's a really bad cat. But we named it Baby Kim Jong-un.
Oh.
But you
Yes.
And since it's such an unusual cat, it's very strange. It's not afraid of dogs or nothing. It's really abnormal cat. I think we should call it It. Anyway, I just wanted to call in to say hi, y'all, and I know two Sundays ago I called in four times, and then I didn't call in for three, services in a row. I just want to let you know that we're here.
You're still here. Good, Jacob. Let's call. Let's wave to Jacob. Thank you, Jacob, for touching.
Hey, Dale.
Yes, Dale too. We have Dale and Jacob. Okay. As I said, maybe that's Jacob, and I was right. It was Jacob. Yes, Matt and Tammy.
Just going back to what we were talking about before, and what Barbara was mentioning about her pet.
Mm-hmm.
Ecclesiastes 3:21 kind of relates to that. Who knoweth the spirit of man that goeth upward? And the spirit of the beast that goeth downward to the earth.
It's interesting. Yeah, it's interesting. All right, so we stopped at verse number, 16?
Mm-hmm.
We are the children of God. It's good to be a child of God, no question. Well, let's